You can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. I want to welcome first-time visitors, right? You're here for the very first time. Welcome, welcome. Glad that you're here. Make sure that you fill out that connection card. Leonard and Linda are around. I know Linda's on this side, and she'll give you a free gift if you'll give that card back to her, and you'll be blessed today. We like giving out free things. Message notes, if you have them, they're found in your bulletin. If you need one right now, we have ushers that are willing to go right now. They'll give you one. If you need one, raise your hand high. You didn't get message notes when you walked in. Do you need them? 100%? 100%? You need some? They don't mind giving you one. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Cochran. It looks like you're moving. Amen. That's okay. Good, too. All right. Amen. We discovered this during the series part one, which was last week, that we love the Word, that we're going to learn from the Word, and then we're going to live the Word out. Part one was called building your life really on the right words. We talked about the storm that comes to everyone's life and how it comes and how circumstances are according to the Bible. It rains on the just and the... And so most of you guys are just in this room. You're at church on Sunday morning. I'm not saying that you're perfect, but you're trying to live that justified life, trying to do the things right. But just as it rains on the unjust, it's going to rain on the just. Do you realize that today? And my heart is, as a pastor, this is more of a pastoral series that I'm giving you today, is that you would be equipped so when the storms came and the wind comes, that your house is not blown apart. You're standing on the right thing and your foundation set. And it's so to teach you that today, and it's my very heart that you would have that. So when the impact comes, you would not be shaken. Again, Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, the Message Bible, theme scripture for the next 2-3 weeks here. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. Jesus was a word man. He knew God's word. Again, the Old Testament was the one that he had. They were making the New Testament as he spoke. And Matthew, the tax collector, was scribing it down. Man, he was writing it down today. And he said, Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. As much as I like that garlicky crust on the end of my pizza, the stuffed crust of the cheese that would go in that's so delectable. I love all bread. Man, isn't bread just delicious? How about a tortilla with a little bit of butter? Anybody give me a good man? Yeah, my dad would tell me, as poor as we were, Mama could always put a flour tortilla, and put a little strip of picante or the salsa on it, and that would be good, son. That's what we would eat, because Dad grew up in the Depression. That was his story about us, him walking barefoot in the snow. It didn't snow in San Antonio, so he had to make up the tortilla story, but it was true. And thank God for it. How are you going to cope and survive when the storm comes? Because attacks will happen to your life, like I told you last week. Will you cope? Just get through it? We made it through another year. I don't want that to happen in your life. And if you were here last week, you heard that. I want you to thrive. Not that you're not shaken, because we all get the trials. We're going to get bad news. Come on, Pastor, tell me something good. I came to church. I'm positive. You're going to get something bad that comes to your life every now and then. Part of life, right? I'm a positive preacher here today. How would you thrive through that? How would you still be unshakable, indestructible? The only way is to have God's Word in your life. The only way to get through the storm, according to the Word, which is a lot smarter than us, is to have God's Word in our life today. Amen? So it may not work out for you right now in a little bit, but I have something better for you. I have God's heart for you today. I have His plan for you. And I know if you prescribe this good word, it'll work for you. So getting to know you, amen. We want to know God's word. We want to understand it today. If you ever wanted a great relationship, you have to have understanding. And so about 26 years ago, I got to know a girl by the name of Irma Espejo. She had raven-haired beauty, man. I saw her in church. I said, that's going to be my wife, but she doesn't know it. Amen. And so I ran until she caught me. Amen. She finally caught me. Amen. Then we got married. So 26 years ago, I fell in love with her. And you know what? 26 years later, I'm more in love with her, honestly, than I was 26 years ago, because that's the way marriage should be. Right, everybody? Yeah. But you know what? I'm still trying to figure her out. She's still like, wow, really? What? You know, I mean, and that's where you get the understanding, but that's where more love comes. And so it is with God's Word. We may not get the understanding all at once, but it becomes more than a, a law or something, a discipline. Well, I'm married. I got to stay married. No, it becomes a delight, and it becomes like a fine wine that's aged, and it tastes better. The years go by because there's more of an understanding. And y'all understanding what I'm trying to say, right, everybody? Year one was good, man, but it just keeps getting better as I walk with God. It kind of reminds me of that funny story about that man that was on the California beach, and he finds a genie bottle. And so he does what any man would do. He rubs the genie bottle, and out comes this genie. He goes, "Thank you, I've been in there so tight." He says, "I'll grant you a wish, whatever wish you want, one wish." And the guy said, "Man, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I don't want to leave California because I get fearful of planes. I just think they're going to crash. I said, I get seasick. I just don't know. Build me this great bridge from the California coast all the way to the Hawaiian coast. And that way I can just drive across because I have no problem driving." And the genie said, "You know, man, that's going to be so tough. All the rebarb that's going to go down the Pacific Ocean, the pillars of cement. It's a logistical nightmare, man." He said, "That's almost impossible." He said, "Don't you have something else?" He said, "Yeah, I've been married for about 40 years. I want to understand my wife." And the genie paused and said, "Hey, do you want two lanes on that bridge or four?" Some of you will get that at 3 a.m. Some of you won't ever get it. Amen. There's hope for us all, right, everybody? Let's get to know the Bible so we understand it today. Let's look at the first scripture right out of the bat, and it's found in your handout today. Let's look at this word together. Let's read it together like we ate a taco this morning at least, or a barbacoa, or you wanted one, or you had a Pop-Tart, one guy said. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. So the servant of God, that's you. You know, first service was just on fire. I don't know. Maybe they just wake up earlier. I don't know what it is. But we can do better, right? Second time around, we'll come again. You'll have another chance. Let's get it to work. The Word of God, when it's applied to your life, according to this verse, because it's God-breathed, it's power words. When it's breathed that way, because of the, again, God's pinky, remember that, is more powerful than any might that you might have or that muscle that you think you have the barbed wire around today. God is just more mightier. His breath is just powerful that it produces the words that when we say God's word, because it's produced in heaven, it is used to restore our marriages, bless our sons and daughters. When it's applied through our finances and our families, it just changes everything. I dare you, I double dog dare you to put God's word to the test in your life for healing today. It will work. Amen. You grab a hold of it. We talked about it last week, how you would chew it, how you would meditate on it. And you put God's word to the test. Amen. And you would not be proven wrong because it's a sure word. You missed a good place to say amen and get all over it. But I'll say amen, Pastor Mario. You're preaching good today. Amen. And so I want you to understand the Bible today. Amen. The first bullet point right there is the word. The Bible means what? It means book. Yeah, it means the book. Amen. And it means that we would, biblios in the Greek, and it's a town that was like the shipping channel, now modern-day Lebanon, where they would get that papyrus paper and write the scribes that the ancient Greeks would do because they were very intellect people, and they would record everything. And so they exported it, and that's where we get the Bible from and the word, the Bible, from a biblio. In the history of mankind, the most translated book, the number one bestseller still on the charts today. And so you can trust the Bible. Next week, I'll talk about the proven authenticity of the Word of God and how it can be defended by you. Simply put, you don't. When somebody comes against the Bible, you can say, "No, my pastor is going to teach me next week on how I can defend the Word of God today." Look at this point. It was written over a period of 1,600 years. Listen, over a dozen countries on 3 different continents by people of all walks of life. That would be the equivalent today if they began all the way from 2016, all the way if they began at 400 AD. It's a long time of time, isn't it? For it to say the same thing over and over. Can you say God's word is proven? It has the same message. God loves people. A redeemer has to come because of sin. God restores people. And that's the overlying message of God's word. For all those people, all the different continents it was on, all the walks of life to have that same message, something's up, right? God's trying to speak to us today by His very word. And it's, again, if you can pray, that's awesome, because that's you talking to God. But you know how God speaks to you? Through His Bible. If you open it, you read it, God speaks to us. And that's powerful. If you can do one thing, you can pray, yeah. But I would rather you read the Bible, because that's God talking to you. And He'll answer you before you even ask, right, everybody? There's so many different types of people. So how is it so that this could happen over so much different time? There was one writer in the Quran. His name was Muhammad. There was one writer of Buddha. And what's his name? Buddha. You went to the Chinese place, amen? You rubbed the restaurant. You rubbed the panza a little bit, right? Panza llena, corazón contento. Amen. I learned Spanish. Give me a good amen, right? I learned that from my brother over there, amen. See, I listen, amen. Amen. I wish that guy would have been here that corrected my Spanish first service, amen. There was one writer in the Book of Mormon. His name was Joseph Smith. One writer. So all these different people that wrote from all different lives, see, when I get one writer, that's his opinion, right, everybody? But if I get all these other writers, and these were the writers, they came from all sorts of backgrounds. There were 40 writers, but only one. So I made it so easy for you. I only gave you two fill-in-the-blanks today. Is that okay? Yeah, but made, church. Man, look at this. Just so easy at church right now, right? Aren't you glad you came? All right, look at these guys. There were poets, there were prophets, there were kings that wrote the Bible. There were princes, doctors, attorneys, sailors, shepherds, soldiers, tax collectors, businessmen, and even a stinking fisherman wrote a Bible, right? If there would have been back then a hunter, he would have probably wrote the Bible, amen? And he would have brought his pastor some venison. Thank you, Jesus, for that one that obeys the Lord, right? Check it out, the setting it was written in. It was written in caves. It was written in prison. It was written in homes. It was written in the desert. It was written on a ship one time. That's where the Bible was written. How could you get so many people writing in different places, again, saying the same thing? I'm not trying to prove anything to you. I'm just saying, let's start understanding the Bible, that it has a message towards you today. It has the right subject and the right verb today. Amen. It's a story of God and how He moved in people's lives. And how people were broken, how people were messed up, how their families were messed up. And they heard God's word. God breathed upon them. They wrote God's word down. That's why it's so important that you journal. That's why it's so important that you write God's word and you become a scribe. Not rewrite it, but you write it again. And you've been journaling and keep journaling and even go to the next level. Write it down. It changed people's lives. It changed their lives. It changed the people around them. And look what it's doing still today. After millions of years ago, it's still changing our lives today, right? The Word of God is active. It's alive today. One of the keys about understanding God's Word, and it's not written in chronological order. It's written in subject matter. The type, all the poems are together. Psalms through Ecclesiastics and Job through Ecclesiastes. The history books are put together. So if it was written in historical way, it would have put everything together and the Bible wouldn't have been written. But when they grouped it together, they grouped it according to how it was written, the subject matter. And so there's an overview of the Old Testament. I know it's a lot of notes. Don't freak out. If we were at a Bible college, we'd probably take a whole semester to do the survey of the Old and New Testament. But you're so sharp. Man, I'm going to do it in 15 minutes. Is that cool? Yeah, you're so sharp right now. So the overview of the Old Testament, there are five books of the law, Genesis to Deuteronomy. That's all the way from creation through right before they're entering the Promised Land, historical books, the history of Israel, 12 books. And if it was done chronologically, it would be done Joshua all the way to Esther. Esther would be the final book of the Old Testament. By the way, they do have the chronological Bible. You can even do it on an app, on YouVersion, probably Bible Gateway also. It's just a pretty cool way of reading God's Word. Like this morning, we'll talk about that in a moment, poetic books, the five books, Job through Song of Solomon, those are good books. The prophetic books are 17, and here's how they're broken down. There are five, somebody say five major prophets. And does that mean, like, man, these guys are awesome. They brought it, man. Those little guys that are minor, they're minor leaguers. No, what it means is those major prophets, they wrote a whole lot. They wrote a long letter. And the minor guys, they wrote shorter letters, which I'm glad. The last, right here, 12 minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi, right? Is that the Italian prophet? Malachi, amen. There was an Italian guy, amen. So the mafia there, his name's Malachi, and that's good. I just wanted to make sure. I have to throw some jokes in there to keep you awake. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? So right at this point, there's 400 years of silence right after the last book is written of Esther. Silent, not Malachi, but if it was chronologically written, 400 years of silence. Nothing is taking place. No one's hearing from God. And the Roman Empire comes along. The Greek Empire comes along. Alexander the Great conquering everything. And then the Roman Empire comes along. And that's where we get the Christmas story about Herod the Great there and all the people. And history intersects right there. The New Testament. Jesus. Amen. Our Savior. And so the Gospels, four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I still remember tenderly when I began to read the Bible because I had no knowledge of it as a teenager, that I would read Matthew and I would go, were you like me? I would read Mark. I go, this is the same thing. Same thing about Jesus. And it went to Luke and the same thing almost, but a little bit of different. Hey, he fed 5,000 over there in Matthew, right? But what I began to realize is I began to understand the Bible. These were four guys, four different men that had their view of Jesus. And they said, man, this is the best news that we can ever have for mankind. And I have to record this story. And they recorded their story and they gave it to us in the Gospels, right, everybody? Yeah, so there's one story, four different accounts. Acts is the historical record of the first church. And I'm glad that that's there because here's how the chronological Bible, and some of you have read that through the that they put the epistles mixed in because the first church started planting churches. And so the epistles came in there when they talk about going to the coast of Ephesus and establishing the church. Well, then Ephesians would be right there. That letter would be right there because it would be in the chronological Bible. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? And so Romans to Jude is the epistles. And then the prophetic book in there is Revelation, and that's just the last day. It's a difficult book. I avoid it. I've taught it once in the history of the 15 years that we've been a church. I enjoyed it, but man, did I have to study to prepare to give it to you on a Sunday morning. And maybe we'll go back to it one day. I know you'll enjoy that. Some of you guys that are into the end times and apocalyptic, you want to be part of the zombie, brigade and... Yeah, you want to make sure, but we'll go back to it. I saw one hand raised. My brother's brave and all, but that was revealed by John, the beloved the disciple, and he was on the island of Patmos, and he got the last days. I'm going to give you a little bit of that, the picture today, so you came on the right Sunday if you like prophecy and that sort of thing. And so the Bible is this mirror image that it not only looks at you looking at God's Word, but you know what God's Word does? It looks back at you, right? You've been so deep in the Bible, reading the Bible, that God begins to read you, and it reflects back. See, the Old Testament, it's not an accident. You ever read something in the Old Testament, especially with the soap bookmarker that we have, it does it beautifully. You read something, and you go, man, that just touched upon what I read in the Old Testament from the New Testament. Anybody like Nava and get that? Yeah. It happens if you do that. Read a little bit of the old, and it marries it together. It's no accident. It was calling out that mirror that the Old Testament would look at the New Testament and come together, and then it would come to our lives. The Bible would read us. Are y'all excited about Living Faith this morning? Yeah? We're doing what we should do today. And so I broke it down, and it's in your handout. I think this one is, if you'll show me the next slide. God and righteous man. And that's the very picture of Genesis 1. Adam and Eve in the garden. And that's God's plan. He always wanted somebody perfect. He wanted somebody that would be perfect man, a perfect place. He wanted paradise for you. That's God's dream for your life in this room. Did you know that today? And so in Genesis 1, we see that picture. But there's always somebody that's going to mess it up. And it's really not him, her, or somebody else down the street. Satan comes in and sin enters. And it separates us from a holy God. Have you noticed when we're in sin, when we're doing something, and I don't need to tell you about that, you know that, and you know that when that happens, chaos ensues, it comes towards us, because it's separated us so much, nothing is going right in our lives. And not that God's after us, it's no, we've separated ourselves from a holy God, and God wants us to get to the right place, and coming back to Him, He made a way for us today. And He wants the chaos to stop in our lives. And He has a plan for us today, preaching God's word today. The world is judged, is the next bullet point, and it's destroyed. That's the story of Noah, his family. There is a remnant there, and God is redeemed. And He gives us that reset again. And I'm so thankful for the reset. See, that's been going on since the Old Testament. Did you realize that today? And the one world government happens. They said, you know what? We're just going to get so mighty. We're going to get so powerful. We're going to build this big tower that's found in Genesis 10 through 11. We're going to reach the heavens. We're going to overtake God. We're going to get that organized, that unified. We're going to keep building, building, and building till we get to God, and then we'll overtake Him. That wasn't very wise of them, was it? No, it wasn't. God comes down. He confuses their language. And from that, look at the beautiful thing that happens out of chaos. That happens again because of sin. The 12 tribes, Israel's holy people, from Genesis 12 to Malachi, comes along and God brings in life and His heart for people today. Here's the problem with that. All the laws that were given to them, they were externalized, but they were never internalized. Because they were never internalized, there was a heart change. See, we can look real good on Sunday mornings, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm not preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to me. And I can do all the right things even as a pastor, but if the Word of God doesn't come on the inside, I won't transform, and neither will you. These should be, these chairs right here, they should be saved to the bone because they've never missed a service. But they're still chairs. You will come to church every day. And if you don't internalize God's word, the hearing of it today, and you don't take it and begin to do God's word, you'll stay the same. Nothing will ever change in your life. And so it was with the people of Israel. They never internalized it. It was always external. Let's look good on the outside, and everything's messed up on the inside. Yeah. Hell is not a place that a loving God would send anyone into this room. God loves you. He paid the price through a precious son called Jesus. And he paid the price so you wouldn't have to go. But if you want to pay it, it's hell to pay. Do you understand that? But I would take the other one first because it's a lot easier today. Let's not have hell to pay. I'm so thankful that hell was paid for my life. Hell was paid for your life today if you receive it. And His name was Jesus, right? He's the hope of the world. So Jesus Christ, amen, came. And I believe if we keep going today, and he showed us His life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right, everybody? He's still the hope of the world, right, everybody? Amen. So look at this with me. I did a graph with you, and I know it's going to be a little bit hard to see because of the point size, but I wanted to point towards something which is incredible. We just talked about the 12 tribes all the way down to God's righteous. And we go kind of backwards from Genesis to Malachi all the way to Genesis 1-2. But if it points to this side, look what the redemption is. And that's the New Testament. So he had 12 tribes. And what did he have in the New Testament? He had 12 disciples. And so he had God's holy people in the Old Testament. And what does God have now? He has God's church, you and I. And he's speaking. God loves. And we're going to talk about the Old Testament. I love the values of it. I apply it to my life because it's something that I love to do. It's God's love towards us today. The one world government, the system that was happening there with the Tower of Babel, aren't we really approaching that again with what they're saying in Revelation 6:9? It talks about the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist, where it's being set up. If you look at it today, even with a simple thing like a credit card, how scanning chips are now implanted in us. They're in your dog, aren't they? Fido gets lost, right? Well, Fido, man, costs a lot of money, man. We got to find them, so we put a chip into them and we can find them. You know, you'll go to Target one day if you're left behind and you scan that forehead of yours or that thing, and to buy the. You don't want to be doing that at Target, right? Everybody, you want to go to Target with cash or check or debit card. Is that okay with everybody? The world is judged and it's destroyed. The remnant, though, if you point towards it, the incredible thing, just like in Noah and his family, there's a remnant still that's left in Revelation 6:19. Are y'all okay with this? It's not too much? Good. Satan is always messing up God and God's plan for his people. And so sin enters in Genesis. See how we're going backwards 3:5 today. And so we look at this scripture and sin, instead of entering, it finally makes that exit with Satan tagging along with it in Revelation. He's cast into the lake of fire. And so thank God for that, right, everybody? And then let's spend a little bit of time on this last one. The righteous man in paradise was one man, and now the redemption comes of God with man with him now in paradise in Revelation 21:22. The Greek word for the word paradise, the closest word that we have to it that we can describe it, is called resort. I like that, don't you? I like to think of heaven as a resort. We have these bad images of heaven because of what we've been told by Hollywood and by people, that it's going to be like this place. We're going to play a harp, and it's going to be, we're going to be floating on a, it's like a retirement home. I've been to retirement homes. Some of us don't want to go to retirement homes in this room, right? Give me a gun first, amen, or something. I want a resort, all-inclusive. Hey, they're playing shuffleboard at 3, amen, right, everybody? We're going to have the dance later on. You want to go to a resort. It's all-inclusive, all the drinks. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's not going to be this boring place. It's going to be a place of activity, a place of just doing a dominion, doing things, and being in charge of regions, amen? That's why I'm being so faithful, amen? I want to be a governor somewhere in heaven. How about you, amen? You want to do something in heaven. It's boring to say I'm going to play a harp all day and sit on a cloud in a bright robe. That's hell to me. How about you? No one wants to be in church all day, right? Maybe some guy does, right? Not me. This afterlife thing that we have, it's afterlife, afterlife. I'm going to be in the afterlife. I'm going to go haunt somebody. No, you want the right afterlife, right? Not haunting people, right, everybody? Revelation 21:22 speaks of that. I'm so thankful you're part of history. The Bible, an incredible book, even though it's closed in the sense of not having writing, you're being part of the writing right now of what God's doing. There's history being made in your life because you're part of God's Word. You're walking, it's present right now. Can you understand that? I know it's a little bit weird to say, but thank God for the whole subject of the Bible and what's it about today. And the whole subject of the Bible, would it be? Well, we're the subject of the Bible. It's about us. No, we're the object of His love. But the subject of the Bible is this. Jay Lee, change it for me. Stay with me. It's this. Change it for me. The subject of the Bible, somebody shout, Jesus. Jesus. Fill it in, amen. He's going to catch up in a minute, amen. Unto Jesus be all the honor, all the glory. Unto the Lamb of God. It's about Jesus, amen. He's the subject of the Bible. A sentence has, come on, English majors, English teachers, a sentence has a subject and a, so we'll get to the verb in a minute, amen. Jesus is in the whole Bible, even in the Old Testament. How is it in the Old Testament, Pastor? Well, he's at creation. Jesus, God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man. There were four men in the fiery furnace. Oh, no, it's Shadrach, Meshach, fire furnace, Abednego, and the fourth man came, and his name was Jesus, and he stood with men today. There was a fourth man. There was a man in the Bible in the Old Testament whenever the prophets came, and they said, there's one coming that is going to be so marred and so scarred, but by his stripes we're going to be healed. There are 300 prophetic accounts of Jesus in the Old Testament that took place in the New Testament today. So the Old Testament talks a lot about Jesus today. And that's why the Bible says this in John chapter 5, verse 39, in your handout on the big screen. It says this, you search for the scriptures. And it's really meaning, Old Testament here because Jesus didn't have the New Testament. John, the beloved, was writing it down. Man, that's so good. I'm going to write it down so it's in. I'm going to make sure somebody gets that letter one day. And it got into us today. But Jesus had the Old Testament. So he's telling these Old Testament people that had the Old Testament so much entrenched in their life that nothing's taking place in their heart. You search the scriptures. By the way, have you ever met somebody that knows the Word of God, but they're still mean? If you're not saying yes, it's probably because you're the mean one. No. Just trying to be mean to you. No. Or the Word of God doesn't change that person after all these years. And Jesus was talking to a group of people, saying, you know, you search for them, and you do all the ruts, all the rules, and you get into a rut. You do all the regulations, and there's still no joy in your life. But you think they'll give you eternal life. You're trying to obey all these rules, and you're really having a temporal life here. But he said, the scriptures point to me. And that's the key, church. If you read the Bible, you say, where can I find Jesus today? Where can I see in my past that Jesus is alive in my home? He's alive in me. He's alive in my future, in my finances, in my marriage. And you read the Bible and go after Jesus. Amen? And so Old Testament values, thank God that Jesus lived every one of them perfectly. Old Testament rules, he obeyed them all. And he's our example. He's our heart change today. We get Jesus, we get everything. Amen? So in a sentence, there's a subject and there's a verb. What is the verb? Well, it's love. It has to be love. Well, that's the motivation. He loved you. He has a plan for you. God had a perfect love, and he gave a perfect love away towards you today. John 3:16, the most popular verse in the Bible, talks about the perfect love that God gave and how he did it. For God, so why don't we read it together? You can do better than you did the first time. Let's go. Redemption has come. Reset on three. One, two, three. For God of the world that he gave. Yeah, he expressed his love, didn't he? I love you, I love you, I love you. Well, you never do anything, though. You just sit there. Show me you love me, amen? And that's what love does. It gets off the couch. It goes and it gets the job. It goes and it pays. It does what it has to do. Amen. It expresses itself. Jesus was that ransom that was given because of love. If you came to me, you've heard this if you're a lifer here. If you came to me and you said, you know what, the only way that my life is going to get saved is if you give your only son. I have one son, Erman. I have one son. His name's Andrew. He's the joy of my life. He's the pride of my life, that boy. And so is my daughter, right? But yeah, I'm so proud of Andrew. Even when he messes up, I'm still proud of him. I love him. How about you? Yeah, you have children. You know what I'm talking about. And if you told me, hey, the only way I'm going to live is if you give your son for a ransom. He has to die. You know what I would tell you? Right away. I wouldn't wait either. I would tell you in a nano. I would say, nice knowing you. Bye. There's no way I'm going to give up my son. I love him too much. You're the same way. God had this crazy love. It's crazy. It's crackhead love. In the urgency of him needing you, in the relentlessness, I need that person. I love them so much. I'll bankrupt heaven. Is that okay? You get the picture right now. And I'll sell everything to get to them. And that's what he did. It was Jesus. And so when you begin to read the Bible that way, you realize that the verb is not love, it's give. Right, everybody? You're doing a good job, son. Keep going, man. Amen. And that defines our church. We're a giving church. And so are a lot of other churches. We don't have the eight ball on the church. But we're doing what's right. We're a life-giving church. We've been a life-giving church for many years. We turned the ship around and we got externally focused because we were internal so much about what about us? No, what about them out there? Let's give it away. Let's give the new church away to them. And so we give at Be the Church. In a couple of weeks, Chuck Weimer studied outreach, and he said, let's give this church away. Let's do this, Pastor. Let's do Be the Church. And we go through a drive-through, and we pay for the person in back of us. And maybe we give out these Kobe bracelets. No, not Living Faith bracelets. Kobe retired, man. We have Laker bracelets up here. Amen. Laker theme. Amen. You can still wear them. Amen. You can still wear them. They're Lakers out of the playoffs. It's quiet in this Baptist. Maybe you're Laker fans. I don't know. Pay for the. Let's go into a restaurant and give them one of these bracelets and pay for their tab. They don't need to know it was us. Just leave this behind and say the people of Living Faith love you. Single mom and her kids got fed at that restaurant because we walked in. And we do these acts of kindness, of giving on that day. We give to missions all over the world. Right now there's a missionary being supplied because of your extravagant giving today, Living Faith. The adult daycare is going to happen this Friday. And what's incredible about that, many of you go during your lunchtime. You got to go a little bit early from 10 to 11. But you show up and you get greeted. Instead of you giving, you know what happens? You get. You go in there and you're having a bad day, my brother or my sister. You get hugged by all these special people. They can't wait to see you. Gloria Martinez does a great job greeting people, but you've never been hugged until you've been hugged by Ralphie. Or Jesse comes up to you. Or the rest of them, man. Sometimes I don't know their names, and they just love you. And the purest of greeting, the purest of love is there because we've chosen to be a giving church today. And so we receive, and so we do today. And as a, maybe the lights don't need to come down because of confusion. The most extravagant example of a gift was what Jesus did and how he gave heaven and how he gives us today. I want you to be ready for the storm that's coming. And not that I'm a messenger of somebody could come play. We'll wind this thing down. I'll bring in the plane to land, right? I want you to be ready. And the only way to be ready is to having a daily diet. You eat lunch. Why not eat the Word of God at lunch? You eat dinner. Don't miss a meal by reading God's Word. I said this last week, and I want to conclude with this, and you'll think I'm picking on somebody. I'm not. I don't have any agenda but to pastor you and to make you the great person that you're supposed to be.